This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then
boom! With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Joining us right now, we've got Jason. I don't know. We don't have an alarm or anything. We have a breaking news theme. Do we have a new hairstyle coming from our good friend from The Athletic?
No, I just don't feel like getting ready for you.
Oh. I mean, I was wondering. I'm like, did Sam not comb his hair? And then I'm looking at it. It looks coifed. It looks okay. Maybe not now.
Maybe not all that right. side.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. It's a perfect segue because Dave, you just called me off air.
I did.
And I just figured, you know, I thought that your YouTube channel would make my face famous. That's kind of the only reason I'm here.
Okay.
But, you know, I got roasted on the internet last couple of days for this interaction with Anthony Edwards. And the best part is getting reminded that nobody knows what I look like because there's all these tags with people saying reporter, reporter. Uh-huh. I have nothing in my mentions. I don't know why I would highlight this. But, you know, so now I figured, why do I need to comb my hair?
Yeah, good point.
And I love y'all, but like nobody's watching.
Right. Exactly. Gee, wow. That was awesome.
And that's it for Sam today.
From the top rope. If you're wondering, oh, we'll get him though here. If you're wondering, let's give you some context.
We were helping him pump his pole before.
We were, and we're going to help him even more now. Here's Sam Amick in Denver, asking Anthony Edwards the now infamous question here.
Hey, you talked in that Phoenix series a lot about the way you saw Kevin and how that motivated you. And at your age, it's got to be fun to see all these OGs right in front of you. Is there anything like that in this series? Like what's your...
Nah, these guys 3-4 years older than me, man, yeah.
I mean, now, let's just say, like we'll do this movie style. Had that been the end of the question line, no issue. You know, Sam said, have you seen, you play with some of these OGs? How cool is that? Did it, you know, Anthony, says, no, you had his answer. But then Sam decides to double down a little bit.
I mean, Jamal's been around for a minute. Is that a guy that you've been tracking at all?
Nah, hell no. Nah. Like I said, what is he, 27?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm finna turn 23, dog. Yeah, KD 36, 35. Right. Yeah, come on, man. There's no disrespect to Jamal. I don't know what you're trying to start, but not at all.
Okay, so that was the thing. Well, Jamal, the whole thing seems to be, and by the way, this is the perfect show to break all of this down. Nobody more expert on things than us. And we're the perfect people to do this. So it comes down to, is calling Jamal, really? I mean, seriously. Okay.
It was Anthony Edwards.
That's the, say
it
again.
It was Anthony Edwards.
Yes, calling. It was Anthony Edwards. So
it was actually somebody calling to give me a hard time about this interaction.
Well, we're all having a blast with it. And as Sam alluded to, some of my favorite comments that I've highlighted here. Let's see. You can tell this is a Denver reporter trying to hype Jamal Murray up. The reporter is trying to use words he thinks are cool. Oh, here's one. It's Sam Amick, one of the best national NBA reporters out there. Well, that's nice. But a lot of it seems the main controversy here is referring to Jamal Murray as an OG and did Sam make a mistake? Well, I've done some research and I present this without comment. First off, for those of you out there, what is an OG? Well, what's the definition? I go to dictionary.com. OG, short for original gangster, is a slang term for someone who's incredibly exceptional, authentic, or old school. It is used now as a general term to praise someone who is an expert at something. So let's break that down. Is Jamal Murray incredibly exceptional? I think so. Is he authentic? Yes. Is he somebody who's an expert at something? Yes. But that's not the issue. Is he old school? So I go back to Google and Reddit, which is really where you should get all your information. How old do you have to be, or what kind of experience do you have to qualify as an OG? Well, it says between 30 and 35 for women and 35 to 40 for men, but it also says anyone with 15 to 25 years of experience in any field of study, practice, or service should be considered an OG. So finally, Jamal Murray came out of Kentucky at 19. This is his eighth season in the NBA. He missed one when he hurt his ACL. Now, if you add in Kentucky, now we're up to 10 years of experience. And then, of course, you have high school, which is 14. I'm pretty sure he played in junior high. I think technically by the letter of the law, Sam, he meets all the requirements possible. So I'm wondering if you're expecting an apology.
I am. But in the spirit of Jamal Murray, there's not a lot of apologies in this Nuggets-Wolves series.
Right. That being said, all fun aside, how fun is Anthony Edwards to cover? Like, seriously, charisma seems to drip out of this guy's pockets. Everyone is just giving him his flowers, and they're so well-due. How fun is it as a reporter to know that pretty much you can ask him, well, as you experienced, you can ask him just about anything, and you may have the greatest soundbite of the day on your hands?
No, I do love it. It's funny. I haven't thankfully run into this often, but we all know the internet, so for lack of a better way of putting it, and the internet sucks in terms of, like, that gets clipped. What doesn't get shown is the next 3 minutes. I had been told by Timberwolves PR, excuse me, in previous conversations, as I tried to learn about Anthony as a guy, that, like, he'd been getting better with the media, but that he is suspect of any reporter that he doesn't know. Like, this is something that I had already been kind of warned about, not in a negative way, but just trying to understand his personality. So that helped, because after this little moment, I was laughing at myself in my head, like, all right, whatever, let's go take two. And we ended up having like three more questions that went really well, and he gave a good session. And I will always pick substance and style over, you know, cliches and boring sound bites. So he is a very interesting guy. You can see his mind working, because the reality is that basketball wise, his star is rising at an incredible rate right now. And he's, you know, with that, you are figuring out how to catch up with the world that comes with it, if that makes sense. But no, the guy's a lot of fun to cover so far.
And you were there. So were you there for game two, Sam?
Yeah, that was the funny part, Jay, is like, this happened on Friday.
Okay.
Like, this, it didn't, is, I think Complex Sports is, you know, thanks a lot, Complex.
That's exactly the one that got it.
Here's the best part, and I got to get to the bottom of this, is the guy who just called and interrupted your radio show.
Yeah.
Like, I think he has ties to the guy at Complex. I think his brother's one of the top guys, so I'm about to call and say, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
But yes, go ahead, Jay.
I'm thinking, so you were there for game two. Like, that to me, there's been so many different storylines in the playoffs, but going in, it was already, okay, wow, Minnesota won game one. Edwards was great. Game two, oh man, Gobert's going to be out. Hey, still, they got 1-1. They'll be, that's still a good situation. But the way they played, again, we're caught up in the last thing we saw, but Sam, that was one of the best things I've ever seen watching it on TV defensively. You were there without Gobert too. Like, how stunning in person was what Minnesota doing to Denver to you when you saw that live?
Incredibly stunning. I mean, here's the first thought that comes to mind. I don't know that I've ever seen this before. I'm sitting on press row. It's a little bit removed, you know, it's like top of the lower concourse seat. It's not a bad seat, but you're not on the floor. And there's a security guard or an usher standing behind press row, an older man. And I understand that, you know, just because you're an usher, doesn't mean that you're not also a fan. You are. You live in Denver. You want the Nuggets to win. Like, this guy was screaming and yelling as if he had spent $5,000 on a ticket, and he's yelling at the refs, and he's literally screaming about how the game is rigged, which I thought was a funny look, like for a team employee. But it spoke to the level of frustration in the building and what the Timberwolves were doing to the defending champs, not only X's and O's wise, but honestly, like spiritually, their souls. Like I like the Nuggets group a lot. This is not a good couple of days for the Nuggets group. They are not carrying themselves like champions. I'm not trying to be corny about it, but like that does come with it. And Jamal, I'm sitting here having my breakfast talking to my younger son, and both you guys can relate to this. We just had the good old talk about sportsmanship and class and how it doesn't matter how successful you are. These are lessons that are, you know, part of the experience all the way through, and how Jamal is a guy that I personally have really enjoyed covering and have done some good stuff with. And for him, I'm just, you know, I'm disappointed that he's handling this situation this way. And we'll get into those details, but you know, it's reflective of what the Timberwolves are doing to Denver right now. I mean, they're just absolutely dominating them.
Sam Amick of The Athletic joining us. Do we have you to thank for the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP votes for Domantas Sabonis? If so, congratulations.
Yeah, that was wild. I mean, yeah. You know, I was Mr. Sabonis should be on the All-Star team. Yeah. I think I had him third team All-NBA. That's good. That was quite a thing. I mean, listen, man, if the players, not to get defensive, but, you know, players vote for the All-Star voting and they have a vote, like they always have wild votes among the player selections. Like, yeah. I guess it's just like the human, you know, imperfection reality. Like reporters are going to have some wild votes as well. But yeah, that was something.
By the way, just real quick, I noticed, I don't know if this is on all of them or most of them, but one of them was like 99 votes. Do you have any idea why it's not 100, or did somebody get sick or like not mail in their vote? Do you have any clarity on that?
No, I mean, maybe it's just like a drop down menu. Maybe they messed it up.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good answer.
So Sam on the MVP part, it does go to Joker. Not a huge surprise. Third time though in 4 years, we debate whether he could have four in a row. We all talk legacy, you know, he's now gone to a special area of three-time MVPs. What do you think this kind of thing now does for him when you're talking about the greatest players of the league?
Yeah. I mean, he was already, you know, there. I forget where he landed. You know, we have our NBA top 75 list that we did last year, and he was pretty high on that list, and he's only getting higher. You know, I don't think this series is just a reminder that when it comes to, you know, the question of how to stop the Joker, the Lakers kind of were the first team to really do it in the bubble back in 2020 when they threw Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis at him in waves, because even though he is actually stronger than people realize, more physical than people realize, finesse is part of his game. And he needs to see passing lanes and he needs to see the rim. And when you are just beating him up and then getting the benefit of the whistle, which is very physical right now, then, you know, then you're going to see Joker, you know, not prevail every single time. But amazing player, fantastic year. I feel just fine about my vote. I don't think it's one of those years where it's going to be an indictment. You know, it's always, I forget the numbers, guys, but it's been a while since the MVP, you know, was still in a good place in the playoffs when the award was announced, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. Typically they're either eliminated already or well on their way. So it's always a bit of an awkward time for the guys who win it.
I must be looking at your 2022 NBA top 75. I am. I imagine that's changed because I got to like number 51. And I still hadn't seen the Jokic. I was trying to basically help you out on that. Like,
well, keep going, and I'll see if I can. We're actually doing the follow-up. They're doing a top 100 book based on all that work. We kind of rewrote a bunch of the stories, and I don't even know, to be honest, if we've announced that yet. But, you know, look out for that.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Second straight media screw up for Sam this week. I know what I wanted to ask you when you came on. Okay. No pretext, guys. I'm just going to ask him straight up and hope he wasn't listening. Sam Amick, give me the over under on games, if at all, suspended for Patrick Beverley. And let me get, just going to say, I went in hard on a minimum number, and the guys kind of pushed back on it. And I just want to see where you fall, because I've got $1,000 to charity on the line for this one.
I mean, I guess I'll go with my stream of consciousness, which was 5.
Thank God. Okay. That is on the nose. I said he's going to get at least, I actually think it'll be more. I said that.
You said 15.
Didn't I say he'll, but didn't
no,
I say?
No, we said 5 or less.
Jason and I said 5.
Wait a minute, hold
you
on.
You said 15.
Wait, I know I said 15, but what was the, I thought I said he's going, didn't I say he'll get at least 5 for the donation to charity, or did I say it had to be 15? No, I'm asking.
You said more than, I to be fair, I think you said it's got to be more than 5.
Yeah.
And if it's not more than 5.
We'll have to go, well, yeah. I want to honor that, obviously, so we'll have to go back in here to get, Sam, I was thinking, like, because you got previous incidents, you know, you had the Chris Paul push in the back, that then you have the way he treated the reporter with the podcast afterwards. And now you have so you have all those qualifications, which we know have been used for Draymond Green before. And then maybe I'm overthinking this, but, you know, the only team worse to do this to would be the Pistons. You're doing this, you know, in the Palace or the old Palace. You're doing this against Indiana, which shouldn't matter. I get it, but just the optics of the whole thing. And you're look, I get it. It's a basketball. But by the letter of the law, you assaulted 2 fans, one of which a lady in the side of the head. Like, am I overreacting saying I feel like this is something? First off, if David Stern was alive, the dude would probably be out half the year. Secondly, that Adam should react pretty strongly to?
Yeah, I think so. Now, granted, I'm admittedly biased. I have chosen to not interact with Pat for like 2 years now, because he is notoriously rude to media. And I've never run into it, but it just bothers me. I was not surprised with any of this stuff. I just don't like the way he carries himself. And not to make it about the media, but it is, I'll be totally honest with you guys, I kind of love the fact that throughout the regular season, it's just a handful of guys. There's a handful of guys who just do kind of treat media like garbage, and it doesn't really get the public's attention during the regular season because the attention is not at the level that it is in the playoffs. It's going to sound, you know, like I'm putting salt in their wound here, but like, I kind of love the fact that, you know, in the playoffs, guys are getting reminded that like the relationship does actually kind of matter between the media and the players, and you know, these tough moments are going to happen, and then the reporters who are human are going to have to decide how they characterize certain things, you know, and do we give you a break, do we not? And you know, again, even to take it back to the Jamal thing, if somebody somehow didn't see it, Jamal throws a heat pack on the court and also throws a towel and does the money sign at the referees. You know, Rudy Gobert got $100,000 for doing the money sign on its own. Jamal did 3 different things and got $100,000 fine. Mike Greenberg of ESPN, I was just watching right now, like, very large platform, millions of people watching, and Greenberg just absolutely eviscerated Jamal Murray this morning. And again, Jamal's a guy that I like, but in terms of just the you know, that concept of, you know, paying attention to the way you're portrayed, and handling yourself a certain way, it should matter all the time. And guys kind of in the playoffs, they get reminded sometimes in harsh ways.
Yeah. You know, we're also witnessing, we just saw Game 2 last night, Sam, in the East of the Pacers and the Knicks. There was controversy in Game 1. Last 2-minute report reflected that. The Pacers last night lose again. Rick Carlisle gets ejected. And apparently, you know, reportedly they've submitted, you know, 78 questionable calls over 2 games, which maybe isn't even the entirety of their point, but just to show, hey, look, where's the love that we're, what are we getting missing out on here? What's your belief on kind of the way the Pacers are handling it, the perception of officials in the league, and just kind of involved in this series?
One thought, Jay, is like, man, I don't know the whole crew with that New York game, but I did notice Mark Davis. And I was like, man, Mark is having himself a couple of days here.
Yeah,
Mark was one of the officials at game two, where you had Michael Malone just screaming in his face, and Mark doesn't tee him up. So a lot of intensity and controversy in that game. And then, of course, again last night. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Rick made a mistake, Rick Carlisle, in going down the small market road and acting like that was a factor here. You know, like others have pointed out, you know, Oklahoma City and Minnesota are dominating on their side of the bracket. So I don't think, you know, the logic holds up there. And yes, the Knicks are a great story, but the reality is the Knicks are a far more physical team than the Pacers, and that's helping them right now. So I get it. The refs in general are a major storyline right now, because the league has kind of unofficially decided to go back to like 80s basketball, you know. Josh Hart shoving Tyrese Halliburton with two hands in the back, like the type of thing you could see from 50 feet away, and there's no whistle. So, you know, you're seeing the frustration.
And there's a factor here too, and that is the, which we haven't really seen in a long time, the Knicks are relevant. And with the Knicks are at the center of quite a few conspiracy theories over the years, starting with the Ewing frozen envelope. But I got to imagine if this was Indy versus Orlando, we're not having these conversations as much.
No, every time it's a New York or a Lakers, not a Clippers, but
the Lakers is true though.
I forgot who I was talking to.
Sam, just going back to the, can I go back real quick to the, you know, we talked about Patrick Beverley, you kind of dovetailed into Jamal Murray. I just want to go back to that. Like I can you stand in front of the NBA in any way? I can't help but think if the Nuggets were up 2-0, that Murray, how do you throw multiple things on the court? You know, again, we didn't want to over dramatize the Patrick Beverley's ball throwing, but both are potentially very dangerous and highly, highly against the rules. I understand, by the way, I thought the fine was about double what he was going to get. And I feel like this is the NBA saying, all right, you're down 2-0. We don't want to make this a part of the series. We're just going to double the fine we would have given you. And again, I think I saw the numbers. It's 3/10 of what his salary is. So whatever. Do you feel like the NBA missed the mark on suspending him, or can you stand in front of them?
No, I think they missed the mark. I mean, I said that night that I thought it would just be a fine.
Yeah.
But that is also, I didn't know at the time that he also threw a towel and that he did the money sign. So I was only reacting to just the heat pack. And then, you know, you add into it the fact that Jamal has not spoken to the media after either of the two games in this series. And now the first one was just, you know, he broke a rule. The second one, he broke a rule again, but then also, you know, failed to respond to the controversy of the night and the thing that he had done. And then, you know, he gets in front of the cameras yesterday and was pretty defiant and kind of gaslighting reporters. So, no, I mean, I think a suspension would have been in order. And, you know, and I mean, Adam Silver's done a lot right in this league, but discipline and kind of having the iron fist like David Stern used to is typically not one of them. There have been moments, but typically that's not part of the profile.
Sam, you know, obviously we're talking about all the playoff teams. Non-playoff team in Charlotte hired a new coach in Charles Lee. Lakers did make the playoffs, but they're looking for a coach. What are you hearing about their coaching search?
And is Vogel going to leave? Just let me throw that in there too. I know that's on the horizon.
Yeah, I don't have clarity on Vogel. It feels like Matt Ishbia, the Suns owner, is going to have a tough call there because, you know, even at our place, Shams Charania had reported some tough stuff on the dynamic between the players and Vogel. So that's something they've got to analyze. You know, Charles Lee is a longtime assistant who's been involved in a lot of head coaching searches. And, you know, finally getting his chance. I do find it ironic. It's the same type of path. He used to work with Darvin Ham in Milwaukee as part of Mike Budenholzer's staff. So we'll see if Charles fares better than Darvin did in the lasting only 2 years. the Lakers coaching search, there's a lot of names right now. I don't know exactly if they've sat in front of anybody yet, but to me, rather than going down the entire list, I will say the one that I find the most interesting and unique is the idea that J.J. Redick's candidacy is real. And, you know, that, I mean, I think he's a super bright guy and it would be interesting, but it's also just funny to me that, you know, the chess, not checkers component of J.J. starting a podcast with LeBron James, you know, within the past couple months, you know, it feels like, you know, is this kind of something they've been working on the side? I don't know. But you know, a lot of names as part of that coaching search as well.
Are you willing to confirm or deny that if extension talks don't go anywhere with Mike Brown's agent, that the Lakers might make overtures to him? I'm just starting crap. I'm just starting stuff.
I was like, damn, you just
no, I'm just starting stuff. I'm just
don't with, and I, you know, I, Mike's had a very good couple of years. I don't know that, you know, Mike's Laker history.
He doesn't want any part of that.
Hire Genie Bus to hire him again.
You know, you going from Sacramento to L. That's like going from swimming to walking on Legos. I don't really wouldn't want to. Well, you know, like swimming, there's no resistance. Walking on Legos, ow. All right, thanks.
Just envision like a pool that like the worst possible type of like, you know, flooring for a pool is
like. Yeah, like those concrete ones that hurt your feet when you die. Yeah, I'm with you, Sam. Last thing, we got a break. Sam, would you agree? I don't know. I was thinking about this since the beginning of the interview. Are Jason and I OGs? By the letter of the law, we are, aren't we?
It's like past OGs. You're like the next phase.
Wow. Oh, like
washed?
Double. Yeah. There's OGs, there's double OG, and there's washed.
And since you decided to roast me today, Dave, and I know we got to go.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to leave you with this, and it's courtesy of our friend, Neighbor John, who texted me. He says, just remember, you've never introduced Pete Rose as the home run king on your radio show.
Yeah, and thanks, John. I saw that on the text line. Thanks, John. That's area code 408 on John's phone number. You guys figure out the rest of the numbers and crank
I'll get off. There eventually.
Sam, you're the best. Appreciate it. Love you on Twitter. Looking forward to more more young reporters out of Denver asking silly questions. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's Sam. Maybe we'll take a break. Hey, listen, when we come back, Nikola Jokic wins the third MVP, and we'll give you a little more context since we didn't earlier on the police now poking around on the Patrick Beverly incident we spoke on. In the meantime, I want to help you save some money before we go to break. So I'm going to talk to you about my friends at American Energy. I'm going to see them tomorrow. In fact, why am I in a golf shirt today? Because I haven't played since Christmas break. So I'm going to go see my guy Tom Morton today. Get a little lesson. Because, you know, you don't want to go out in front of your friends. And I do consider the American Energy guys friends. I want to go out there and just... I mean, I'm going to stink it up no matter what, but really stink it up. We'll see. We'll report on that on Monday. But I know we're going to be talking about all these rebates from SMUD, from PG&E that American Energy can help you with. Up to $9,000. And you know they do all the paperwork. They do it all. So easy, so simple. You're going to save money on the energy bills. You're not going to deal with those spikes like you see from PG&E every summer. And you get an ultra-high efficiency comfort system, brand new. American Energy is providing those rebates and spring specials just by installing one of the many incredibly efficient AC options available to you right now. So get rid of those bills, the fluctuating ones, that is, and switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Here's the deal, what they'll do for you. They'll come out and they'll perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis and see where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. These guys are the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. Hit that post. 916-520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy. Making the uncomfortable comfortable. Nikola Jokic, three-time MVP. Where does that stack up with everyone else? What has he done that nobody else hasn't? Well, it's something. What is it? We'll sit through the break. We'll tell you next.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
This song, by the way, Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar, part of the Kendrick Drake beef, is breaking like every record. Streams in a day, debuting number one, Congratulations. By the way, one note for you real quick, speaking of OGs, it was this day 40 years ago that my mom came and got me at school for a doctor's appointment. But being the cool mom that she was slash is, remember everybody, Mother's Day this Sunday, I did not have a doctor's appointment. What I did have was a mom who had agreed as a late half birthday present. Yep, that's right. I got to celebrate half birthdays. She took me to the Cinedome Theaters on Greenback and 80 to watch Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
No. Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No.
Temple of Doom. Raiders of the Lost Ark was like 81.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is your plane.
I'm just playing the theme. Yeah. The 40 years ago today.
Wow.
Temple of Doom. Now, it's funny. I'll nerd out for a second, and then we'll go back to sport. Nikola Jokic. Never really thought about this before, but you know, George Lucas, involved in both the Indiana Jones movies and the Star Wars movies, which is what he's most known for. Steven Spielberg, obviously, with Indy Jones, who was originally supposed to be played by Tom Selleck, by the way. I know we talked about that. But the similarities between the Star Wars movies and the indie movies are actually kind of interesting when you think about it. So, for example, and this is always subject to opinion, but generally the highest rated of the original trilogy in Star Wars is The Empire Strikes Back. That's on every poll. That's the number one movie. And in Indiana Jones, pretty much every poll you see out there, it's Temple of Doom.
No way.
No, it really? Is. It is. It's the same thing. It's like the, and both also.
I've heard it's always like the dark one that nobody wants to talk about.
So no, it both, and that's the, it, that's more similarities now. Empire Strikes Back and Temple of Doom, both are considered the darkest of the series. Now, I would argue the most watchable of the Indiana Jones movies, the most rewatchable is Last Crusade, the one with Sean Connery.
Really?
Yeah,
the original.
So that's my favorite.
I love what, the original or the Last Crusade.
Yes,
a ton of people love Last Crusade. But you could argue the original is the best one. I think Temple of Doom is the best one. I understand the argument there, but it's also like, dude, Temple of Doom was like guys pulling beating hearts out in front of you. Like most of these were like lighthearted. And then you get to the sequels, and everybody just craps all over the sequels, whether it's Star Wars or whether it's Indiana Jones. They just absolutely crap all over them. It's a lot more prevalent with Star Wars, where, again, pretty much every fan poll has Empire. I've seen polls with both Temple of Doom and Last Crusade. I don't think I've seen any that have Raiders number one.
Really?
But they're all so good. But then also, it's weird, because then you get to the Rocky trilogy. A lot of people say Rocky's the best one. Rocky won.
My theory on that one is generate. It's when you were.
When you were, yeah.
And our separation in age is a little bit. Me, sure. You, and then you and. But you guys land on Rocky IV.
Yeah, we do.
And I feel like that's. It's Rocky.
You're three. Yeah. Right.
But then other people are like, three, it's two or one. And I'm like, or I don't know that it's people after four, but maybe.
See, I feel like Rocky IV, Last Crusade, and Return of the Jedi are all three, to me, again, it's subjective. Those are the most rewatchable films. Just, but not the best. I fully admit, four is not the best Rocky movie. Three is not the best indie movie. And Jedi is not, the Return of the Jedi is not the best Star Wars movie. But I've seen Return of the Jedi, Last Crusade, and Rocky IV easily, probably twice as much as the other movies.
I would say my favorite Rocky movie is Creed.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, is it a different thing? It's kind of a different
thing. How's it different?
I get
thing?
That it's not, but it is. Like, Rocky is Rocky, and I understand Rocky's in Creed, but, like, it's Creed. Like, I feel like it's, like, its own little, like, exit off the freeway, like, in Creedland. You've got, like, Creedland over here, and it's got, like, its own thing. But Rocky's, like, you know, the New Jersey Turnpike. Yeah. And then Creed
is not
the
like, new development over there.
Right. Creed's like the new development. Super nice. Yeah. Everyone was like, I don't know if I'm going to like living here. And then they watch and like, oh, I do kind of like living here. It's nice. It's refreshing. Yeah. Oh, and hey, look, here's the guy from the Turnpike visiting. Hey, oh, hey. That was my Rocky. Hey, Adrian.
I was giddy coming into this segment.
You were giddy?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
We have receipts.
Uh-oh. That's never okay for me.
It's not.
It's not okay for me. I don't... Oh, do we? I think we do, don't we? I think I know where we're going. Are we talking about bets placed on the show?
I believe, Chris, if you'd like to submit segment one or segment two, you tell me how you want to do this,
Let's
Chris.
Do two, and then we'll show how Dave is very wrong afterwards.
Okay, hold on. Can I just say, that's what you sound like. You actually sound like that. All right, go ahead. I'm Chris. Remember this. If Patrick Beverly isn't suspended for more than five games next year, I will donate $1,000 to the charities of your choice. Oh, okay, hold on. So, okay,
I swear
so,
to God, that's how confident.
All right, more than five games.
More than five games. So that's... Yes. This is for your knowledge. So, just to
oh,
as a
Christ,
precursor,
does that mean if he suspended five games, I lose?
You said more than five.
Yeah,
games.
It's true. No, you're right. It has
but,
to be at least six.
I will say this: you cleaned that up quite a bit.
Oh, I did?
More than I thought you did.
Oh
no.
Oh.
Let's play Exhibit One.
Oh. We will be looking at a minimum of a 50-game suspension.
50?
50, if not all next year.
No way.
David Stern's alone. No.
I thought you said 15.
So did I. Are you, is that AI? Is that AI?
No.
Come on.
You said, you think you said 15 or the whole year?
Yeah, no, you said 50. And I even said 50, and then you said or the whole season.
I feel like. We'll be looking at a minimum. Of a 50-game suspension.
50?
50, if not all next year.
No way.
David Stern's alive. Okay, but at least six.
Close. Close.
Why was I being so dramatic that morning? 50?
I don't know, but did you hear about the Chiefs?
Hey, what if it's 50? I'm going to pwn you guys.
You will.
I will.
You know what?
You're going to what us?
Pwn.
Oh, okay.
And if that happens?
What?
$1 to the charity.
Yeah, let's go. God, why did I say
I'll take
that?
50 cents from Jason and 50 cents from me.
And then I'll pick you up early one day and we'll leave and we'll go watch a movie.
Really?
You won't know which day it will be, though.
Or the movie.
Yeah.
Can we invite Chris and Sean Cunningham?
100%.
Awesome.
Wait, who else were you putting in there?
And
Steven.
Steven.
Because he's got a funny laugh.
Walter.
And Walter, you're welcome to come too.
If we take Steven, Simone's saying, why not me? No, we were just
Simone could go.
Yeah, you can go. We were just naming people we know that have the most infectious laughs. Yeah. Not that you don't.
No, but we're talking about one seeds. Sean,
one seeds.
Chris, and Steven. We need a fourth one seed for our bracket.
Infectious laughs?
Yeah. But Steven was out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, like, oh, he's a one.
I'm thinking of somebody I know that you know very well that has an incredibly infectious laugh that we 100% will not be inviting. I'll No, don't. Just okay. Nikola Jokic.
He doesn't have a good laugh.
Does not have a good laugh. I'm just gonna tell you in code, and you'll get it immediately.
Really?
Oh, come on, really?
That infectious?
Well, when he got going.
Okay.
Come on.
A one seed?
No. Well.
Okay.
I don't know. It's kind of a short. Like, who else? Who else has a super infectious laugh?
Okay. Nikola Jokic.
He is an MVP for the third time in 4 years. Some would say it should be the fourth time in 4 years.
Think he'll win another one?
I do.
You do?
I think I. But
in this league that wants to anoint everybody as the next greatest thing, I bet there's going to be fatigue on him.
You think this is it?
Mm-hmm. Whether that's right or wrong.
I agree with you. No, I 100% agree there will be Nikola Jokic fatigue.
Yeah,
like he's going to have the greatest year ever to win MVP probably next year. Everyone's going to have a down year.
Yeah, I mean, they want to give it to Tatum. They want to give it to Luka. They want to give it to SGA. At some point, it's going to be
Edwards.
Yeah. And like these next great. And then someone that's in college now that we don't even know yet.
Bill.
Right, Bill. Bill will be coming in. It's like, hey, this is Bill for MVP.
Yeah, that's a campaign.
Right.
Yeah, I do agree. So you think, so if you were betting.
If I was betting, I would say this is his last one.
This is his last one.
Now, it doesn't mean he hasn't played like an MVP.
At 29.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I looked at that yesterday. There's not a lot of people that won an MVP in their 30s.
Really?
Not that many. It's kind of the sweet spot is like 26 to 29.
Well, you know, Nikola Jokic has dealt with Shaq and all the doubters his whole life. Now let's add Jason Ross.
Yeah, I mean. If he was on here right now, I would tell him that.
I would like to say this. How about Domantas Sabonis gets a fourth place vote? So that means he finished eighth overall.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis is a top eight player in the NBA. Yeah. That's the rules.
Last year he finished seventh, so he's getting worse.
He did have
lost the trade.
He had a better year last year, but fell down one.
Mm-hmm. And no All-Star appearance.
And isn't he also the 10th best defensive player in the league, according to the votes?
Yeah.
Yep. It doesn't lie.
Right.
Who's hot, who's not, and how about we take you higher? Next segment, Creed Tickets, next.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Remember, we have Creed tickets coming your way in just a few moments. But first, Christopher Laud, please tell us, who's hot?
Shea Langeliers.
Shea Langeliers. I've heard of him from the Oakland Athletics.
In the A's doubleheader against the Rangers yesterday, Shea was a combined 5 of 9 with 2 home runs and 8 RBIs. That is the most RBIs in a doubleheader in A's history, beating out Reggie Jackson, when August 24th in 1969 had 7 RBIs in a doubleheader.
Ooh. Beat the great Reggie Jackson. That's good.
Home run king.
Yeah.
Yes. Who's not?
Pascal Siakam.
Kings could have had him.
In the playoffs so far, he is shooting 25% from three and 43.8% from the free throw line.
Woof.
Wow. In the two games against the Knicks, he is 16% from three and 33% from the free throw line.
Are they going to submit that to the league? They didn't get enough free throws to miss?
They should. They should.
Yeah.
You know who else is not hot?
Who?
Chris Russo and the English language.
What do you mean?
We have another. This is a Hall of Fame mispronunciation.
Uh-oh.
By Chris Russo.
Quickly, they all had the same lines. Let's go kill Giselle and her boyfriend. That was the whole theme of the whole night. Let's figure out a way. How does Tom Brady, the magnificent, good-looking quarterback, how did he lose his beautiful wife to a Giselle how you pronounce it? What's the word? I don't even know. What is it?
What? Jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu instructor. I mean, that's the whole theme of the night. To a jiu-jitsu instructor. To a in wife. To a jiu-jitsu instructor. To a in.
I think what happened in Mad Dog Russo's brain, this is the best I can think, is that he was raving about Giselle, and then went to talk about jiu-jitsu, which is spelled J-I-U-Jitsu, J-I-T-S-U. And I think he somehow combined Giselle and Jiu-Jitsu into Jizu. Jizu.
Jizu Constructor.
Which, in a different segment, maybe we can perhaps, unless Jizu is a word, and if that's the case, I wonder if there's a definition. What is a Jizu? I don't know.
Okay.
Let's go streaking, shall we? Yeah. Jizu. Let's go. Hey, wasn't Jizu the little green guy in Fred Flintstone?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking!
Yeah. Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
Or are we? Carmen Gallet wasn't with us yesterday, but you did submit an entry via text to me, and that does count. You got it in before the game started.
I did.
You were on a one-game hitting streak because you had taken Jake Cronenworth, who at the time had the longest hitting streak in baseball. He went 1-for-4. You got to one hit. So yesterday you submitted Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
4 plate appearances for Mookie Betts.
Jizu.
You got a hit.
Hey!
You're at just 2.
I'm at just 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 hits.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if I was truly the cooler the other day, because remember I took Alec Boehm, who had an 18-game inning streak. He didn't get a hit.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, well, then let me take Shohei Ohtani. And he went 0-for-2. So then I'm like, all right, Shohei Ohtani doesn't go 2 games in a row without a hit.
Is this bed loud?
I don't know.
To you? Is it? Is it, Chris? Is it just my headphones, or is it a little louder?
It's a little louder.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I went back to Shohei Ohtani. This guy doesn't go 2 games in a row without a hit.
No.
Well, he got up 4 times yesterday, and he did not get a hit. I can't believe what's going on here. I can't get anything going.
You're cooling.
I am cooling.
You're cooling the game.
I'm cool it now.
You're menthol cool cigarettes. You're cool Papa Bell.
Cool Han Luke.
Cool Mo D.
Cool Whip.
Cool.
Joe Cool.
Oh.
You're Snoopy. Cool the son from Parenthood.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm old.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're an OG.
Yes.
Sam Amick. All right.
And Christopher Law took from the Oakland Athletics Abraham Toro after getting a 1-game hitting streak with Jaron Duren. He had 3 plate appearances in game 1, and he went 0-for-3.
Abraham Toro.
I think the second game should be counted.
That's the Shohei Ohtani rule. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust
so
me.
Dave's at 2. I'm at 0. Chris is at 0. Light schedule today in the NBA. Or in the Major League Baseball.
Well, very light in the NBA.
Yeah, and in the
light
NBA as well.
You can pick your player. I'll see if he plays.
Let's see. So I did kind of screw up yesterday. I got lucky. Because I had committed.
Yes.
Right?
To the hitting streak
today, and I didn't. But I'm going to get back to that today. Jake Cronenworth's streak is still going. Can't take him.
Right.
So I will take Max Kepler. Currently with a 10-game hitting streak for the Minnesota Twins.
Kepler of the Twins?
Kepler of the Twins.
Max Kepler, trying to get to 3.
Yes, of the Boston Keplers.
Yes. I am going to go with Bobby Witt.
Witt.
Jr.
Cool Witt.
Of the Kansas City Royals.
Royals with cheese.
Chris Rolod?
I'm going to go with Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, you are. He's a Yankee.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, and I mean this with all love, but in our chat, MC and Zebra are like the two dogs that are on either side of the fence
mm-hmm.
that every time they get let out, they just start yapping at each other, and then you're like, no! And then, like, they'll, and I say this with love, you're not dogs, but you get my point. And then they, like, cool out for a second, and then they get let out the next time. And, rah, 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 and then, hey!
So are they barking right now?
Yeah, they've been barking at each other. It's fine. Just, you know, trying to keep it away from
the masses.
What they're barking about. Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, so is everyone in?
Everyone's in.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll recap the Knicks and Pacers.
Okay.
But in the meantime, well, let's see. Can you take me? Oh! Can you take me higher? That's 5 words.
It is.
C-R-E-E-D. That's 5 letters. We'll take caller number 5 right now, and you can get higher with, and
what?
Like their song. Sacktown Sports has teamed up with Live Nation to get you ready for Concert Week 2024. We've already knocked out Janet Jackson. Who do we do on Monday? Because I know we had new kids yesterday, Janet Jackson Davis.
Taking Back Sunday.
Taking Back Sunday.
On
That's
Monday.
Why I forgot.
That's
yes.
why we took it back on Monday.
Yeah, we took them back to Monday, but we don't have a show on Sunday. So, yeah. You know, Creed today. And who is it going to be tomorrow? Don't know. It's going to be a surprise. And you can get on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Caller number 5. Wow, you're already there. To score a pair of tickets to pull up for Creed at Toyota Amphitheater September 1st. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. When we come back, Knicks, Pacers, are they getting screwed? And by screwed, I mean the Pacers next.